We're doing the Nevi Yeshayahu, and we had learned about the great redemption that would come. Hashir Yelachem Kilelit Kadesh Chag. The Nevi had described how the moon would shine like the sun, and the sun would shine sevenfold. And we had discussed that there are different interpretations. The simple understanding is the Nevi is talking about the great salvation that would be from Sancheiriv, where it would seem like everything is doomed. The northern 10 tribes have been exiled. Many have been murdered. The rest have been lost. And then Sancheiriv comes back to attack Jerusalem. Seems like things are working out okay because he's attacked from the other side by Tiraka, the king of Cush, and by the king of Egypt. But then he goes and finishes them off and comes back with all their hostages, all their captives, all the people he's captured from Cush and Mitzrayim, and he surrounds Jerusalem a second time. And now it seems like we're finished. And then suddenly one night, boom, the night of Pesach, midnight, people start dropping like flies, and his whole army drops dead. And we walk out, and we have all the wealth he brought in from Mitzrayim and Cush. So there's this tremendous salvation that potentially could have been the opening of the Messianic period, had Chizkiyahu said Shira. And so the Navi describes that it'll seem like the moon will give light like the sun. If hitherto it seemed like there was no light in your life, suddenly everything seemed dark. Suddenly the exact opposite is going to happen. It'll be like there's no darkness in your life. And they'll give song, and it'll be as great as the first night of Mitzrayim. Hashir yeh lachem kilelit kadesh chag. We continue with Pasuk Lamed. Ken.
I understand that Sancheriv, after surrounding Jerusalem, then I guess he was attacked by Mitzrayim and Cush, went to fight them, came back. What caused them to start dropping like flies? And is this connected?
It was a miracle. We say that's one of the instances in Jewish history where it was an overt miracle, to the point where in the time of the Tanaim and Amoraim, they still knew the location where he camped his army, and it says that whenever they would come to that place, they would make a blessing. Baruch she'asah la'am Yisrael or la'avoteinu nes b'makom hazeh. Because it was a clear miracle. So they'd make a blessing there.
Okay, I remember in the prelude to Megillat Esther, there was a similar incident of this happening. Is this the same incident? Or
it happened only once in history. So it's got to be this. Pasuk Lamed. וישמיע אדוני את הוד קולו. Hashem will make his voice heard, and it's similar. The pasuk is giving an allusion, because you know, in one of the things they teach you in martial arts is how to yell. When you strike, right? So you're supposed to yell. So it's not only in martial arts. You know, the Indians would have a war cry. And in all types of warfare, people would yell. And when you learn martial arts, they teach you, why do you yell? So there are three reasons why you yell. Reason number one is that you strengthen your chi. You strengthen your abdomen. You're strengthening yourself as you yell. It gives you physical strength. Reason number two is that it scares the enemy. And reason number three is that it spurs you on. When you yell, so you suddenly have a voice. One of the things that happens when a person's under fear and under attack is they lose their voice. And when you yell, you feel empowered. So there are three reasons to give out a war cry. One is it physically strengthens you. Two is it psychologically strengthens you. And three is it instills fear in the enemy. So the Navi is comparing as though Hashem is going to fight the Assyrian Empire with a war cry. V'yishmi'a Hashem et hod kolo. Hashem will make his honorable voice heard, so to speak, with a war cry against the Assyrians. V'nachat ziro'o yareh. And Hashem will show the placing of his hand as though he's coming down hard with his hand against the enemy. Bezaaf af. With conflagrations of anger, vilav esh ochela, and the flame of a burning fire, Nefetz vazerim ve'even barad. Nefetz, so in modern Hebrew, Chomer Nefetz is
explosives.
But the word Nefetz really means when you bash something to smithereens. When you take earthenware and it breaks into shards and it like explodes. So that's the word Linnapetz. So Hashem will come and attack with Nefetz, with explosion isn't the right word. What would you call it when?
Destruction.
When something,
smash.
the smashes, right. The smithereens jump in all directions. That's an extreme to smash. Nefetz, vazerim, and a downpour. Zerim is a flow, a downpour. The even barad, and Hashem will come down with harsh hail. Kimikol Adonai yechat Ashur. From Hashem's roar, the Assyrians will be broken. Yechat means to break. and our sages say that this is in fact what happened, that the angel revealed to the Assyrian Empire the songs of the angels in heaven. They were allowed to hear that, and that's why they dropped dead. Mikol Hashem, from the voice that honors Hashem, the voice that sings in front of Hashem. And the angel came and just allowed them to hear that. And so they died. Vashevet Yakeh. Hashem will hit them with his staff. Vehaya kol ma'avar matei musada. The pasuk... Okay, the pasuk here grammatically works a little differently. Asher yaniach Adonai alav bitupim uvechinorot, with tupim, with drums, and kinorot are harps, maybe. So with those, kol ma'avar mate musa musada. Hashem will come against them with ma'avar. What does ma'avar mean? So ma'avar could either mean a crossing, like la'avor, or ma'avar could be from the root evra, anger. So v'haya, it will be kol ma'avar, all the anger, all the wrath, matei musada, the staff that's powerful, musada, like yesod, like foundation, the powerful staff, asher yaniach Hashem alav, that Hashem will place upon him as he fights him, the anger, the staff, the powerful staff that hits him will be bitupim uvechinorot, with drums and harps. So it's as though he's saying they will be destroyed out of festivity. In other words, they will be destroyed and it will be a festive occasion for the Jewish people. It will be on Pesach. It will be a festive occasion for the world and for the Jewish people especially, because they were under the threat of annihilation. Uvemilchamot tenufa nilcham bam. Hashem will fight them with milchamot tenufa, with a war of tenufa. That's like a sift. What? Yeah, it's like when you move around a sifter, you're just waving it around and everything falls through. So that's what the Navi is describing, that it'll be just like using a sift, like waving a sift. That's Hashem's war against them. Our sages say that the word tinufa is a reference to the sacrifice they brought that morning, the omer. That's when it happened, the night after Pesach, and on the Omer, you wave the Omer in every direction, that was the merit with which Sanherib's army fell. So, uvemilchamot tenufa, the war of the waving. What does that mean? It could either mean as though Hashem just waves them clean, or it means through the merit of waving the Omer, we were victorious in that war, even though we didn't really fight the war. Hashem fought the war. Yeah. another understanding is uvimul milchamot tinufa. It's a war of just waving swords in the air, because Hashem says they're not fighting me. They can't fight me. They're just waving the swords. But I'm the one who's going to fight them, and they can't do anything against me. And so Hashem fights them with a war of just waving swords in the air, so to speak. That's what they're doing as Hashem fights them. Ki aruch me et mul toftim. Hashem says, I've arranged from the time of creation. Tofte, what's tofte? Tofte is another term for perdition. Hashem says, I've had this prepared for them for a long time. Gam hi lamelech uchan mi kirchiv. Hashem says, I've made enough room even for the Assyrian king. Don't worry. I've made it deep enough. I've made it wide enough. He can fit there too, into perdition, into tofte. Medurata. The flame, the fire of perdition, eish ve'etzim harbeh, there's enough wood, there's enough fire for him, nishmat Adonai k'nachal gofrit. Hashem says, I blow, and it's like a stream of sulfur. Hashem says, I've created enough fire for him, bo'ara ba'ah, and I've made it burning over there. Don't worry, it's waiting for the Assyrians. So this is a mashal. What the Navi is saying is that Hashem has prepared ample punishment for the Assyrian Empire over their war crimes, over their cruelty. Hashem saying, I will take them down and they will suffer as they go down. So that's the conclusion of this prophecy, which describes the downfall of the Assyrian Empire, which would happen during Pesach. And we'll pick up here, Be'ezrat Hashem, next week, with Hashem turns back to the people of Israel, and now Hashem will speak to the 10 tribes whose destruction is imminent. And Hashem will now turn through Yeshayahu to address them, the northern 10 tribes, with their last king, Hoshea ben Elah. We're up to the final king of the northern 10 tribes, under whom they will all be exiled. A king who intended to do good. He said, whoever wants to send for the three holidays can go. And he removed the guards from the path. He said, whoever wants to can now go up to the temple. And unwittingly, he brought about the downfall of the Jewish people, because until his reign, when the Jews would follow the pagan ways of their king, so in heaven, the wrath was aimed at the king. And now when Hoshea said, whoever wants to can go up to the temple, so then the people were held accountable. Because the king says, you can go. And now when they were going pagan ways, now they were held accountable. So the Navi will now turn to the northern 10 tribes. Be'ezrat Hashem, that's where we'll pick up next week.